Welcome to Two Chicks and a Horror Flick, a weekly horror movie review podcast. I'm Tawny Ray.
And I'm Felicia Connor. Subscribe to get new episodes every Wednesday. We dive into trivia, drink a little whiskey, and of course, give our no BS opinions.
Join our Discord server or message us on social media to talk all things scary.
And if you like the show, consider supporting us on Patreon.
You can find all these links on our website, twochicksandahorrorflick.com. Thanks for listening.
Now let's get scared. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back, Tawny. Welcome back, Felicia. It feels like it's been a while.
Welcome back, us.
Welcome back. We are going to be talking about The Ritual. This was my pick. You know, I love some folk horror. So I picked The Ritual. I'm really excited. We were doing this theme. We were threading. It's our very thinly attached themes we're threading together. And it was movies that the beast in or the thing in The Offering reminded us of.
So yeah.
We picked The Offering. I'm super excited about it. Before we jump into it, Tawny, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking some water. Just water. What are you drinking?
So, I had some ice. I'm drinking some water as well, but I'm also drinking a Godmother. Godmother is half vodka, half amaretto. It is super good. Our neighbors turned me on to it, and now I am like obsessed. They turned me on to it like several months ago, but yeah, it's called the Godmother.
I feel like maybe you had mentioned something about this. That does not sound very good, though, to me.
You are wrong.
You're wrong.
So I have this amaretto, also Di Serrano, I think, is an amaretto you could put in it. I know. I don't know what to say. It's very yummy and very drinkable.
Okay.
You might just want to try it. I'm not typically into any type of flavored liqueur, but I really like this one. I'm
I do
also
like that.
Wearing a red lip.
Yes.
Yeah. So Tawny's an inspiration. I was telling Tawny, and I even brought it because that's the makeup artist in me. I'm wearing the lip liner by MAC called Cherry, and I'm wearing this Valentino red. I think it was called Rosso Valentino.
Wow.
Very pretty lipstick. When I used to work for Nordstrom's as the assistant department manager of cosmetics, we had to wear, it was either 5 to 7 pieces of makeup a day. But if you think about it, you have your concealer, your powder, your mascara. So all of that counts. But I used to have jet black hair, a jet black bob, and I would wear red lipstick all the time. And so I went in, I was getting ready, and I looked at my lipsticks. I have an obscene amount of lipstick for only wearing cherry chapstick every single day
most
of my
of the
life.
Time.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I got to wear some of these. I have 40 red lipsticks.
At what point do you like toss them? Because they don't stay good, right?
Never. Well,
yeah, really.
Smell them. A lot of them I haven't worn.
Yeah.
So I buy them, I love them, and I haven't worn them. So I think there's not really any bacteria. They're still pretty and moist. And I mean, honestly, I didn't have these lipsticks when I worked at Nordstrom's. I probably bought them all
right.
in the last 2 years. So they're all fine. Yeah.
Typically,
if they start to smell odd, and people might go, ooh, that's gross. But it's more just like kind of like a, not even chemically, I can't even
It's like
explain.
It loses its smell. Like that's what I've seen with mine that are like really old is like they used to kind of smell nice, but it's like the whatever they put in there to smell nice kind of fades. And so it just smells, chemically.
Yeah.
Not in a super bad way, but just in like a, that you can tell it's not as good as it once was.
I mean, I do have a lipstick from Urban Decay that I had from when I worked back for Urban Decay. And it still smells so yummy.
Really?
Like,
okay.
Yeah, so yummy. And it's super creamy. I know there's probably some people just like, I mean, I would never do that with like skincare or stuff that goes on my complexion. I don't know. I just don't wear lipsticks enough that I don't know.
Yeah.
And there's things like blushes. NARS blushes are antimicrobacterial. So they don't grow like gross shit in them because they're okay. Antimicrobial.
Microbial.
Yeah. So, you know.
Okay, you well, just, that's good to know because I got a NARS blush that I'll be using for the next probably 5 fucking years.
Yes, and I am neurotic about washing my brushes. And so depending on how much you clean your brushes and how you care for your makeup items, your cosmetics, that plays a huge part too on how quickly you need to throw them away and things like that.
Yeah, I bet.
Makeup 101 with Felicia from Two Chicks.
I want to see a picture. Do you have a picture of yourself with the black bob?
Oh, yeah. I had it for years. I got divorced and I used to have hair that went down to my belly button, long brown hair. I chopped it off, dyed it black. People always used to call me Snow White because I was super fair, too. I'm like the fairest foundation color. Yeah, I have lots of pictures. I will share one in our Discord.
I definitely want to see. Yeah.
Instagram or something. Okay. So that's okay. What we're drinking. That's yeah. All about our lipstick. What else? Tawny, what's going on with you? What happened?
What's happened? What's I know. Happened? Lots of stuff. I will say that we went and saw Dune 2 in IMAX. That was amazing. Loved it. Highly recommend. So fucking good. And definitely, I don't know if it'll still be an IMAX at this point, but if you have the chance to see it in IMAX, I highly recommend it because the sound alone is like worth it. So you can really hear what's going on. So that was great. And then
I haven't seen Dune 1.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about this and I was like, you should watch it.
I was going to watch it on the plane to Malaysia because the flight's so long, but I drugged myself hardcore with Dramamine. So I fell asleep right when it started.
Damn. Well, that's okay. You can still check it. I think it's on Hulu also, actually.
It is. It totally is. Okay. I have to watch that before it goes away.
Yeah, definitely. It's so good. It is long. You got to buckle up for a long movie. And the first one is kind of slow. The second one is a little bit more action-packed. So, I don't know. You get a good mix between one and two. And then there will be a third one. I'm not sure if it's been totally greenlit. But Denis Villeneuve, he's the one who also did Arrival. He's doing these and I don't think that he said whether or not, but he said that it's a trilogy. So exciting. And then the only other thing of note, I feel like is, so I can't remember if I mentioned it to you, but Paige is part of now a group called the Idaho Film Society. And so they are kind of getting some stuff together for film in the Treasure Valley here in Boise, where we live. And they're doing a lot of stuff. They're trying to build a soundstage and put together like a gear rental shop. But I believe it's a nonprofit, but she's a curator for the Idaho Film Society. And so what she's been doing is curating films during her slot, which is like Sundays at noon. So she has been calling it movie church because apparently that's what Greta Gerwig had people do for Barbie. She like had everybody who was working on that movie come and watch a series of movies that were her, you know, starting points of inspiration for Barbie. And she called it movie church. So now Paige is doing this. And we've been going for the last, like, I don't even know, 6 weeks at least. And yeah, so fun. Most of them are movies that I've seen. And so the two of note most recently, because they're horror movies, are we did The Others 3 screenings ago. And then we did The Mist 2 screenings ago.
And Tony loves The Mist.
I do. I love it. And I know it's a flawed movie, but I just love it so much. And yeah, so that's been really fun to just go. And they're like, for right now, they're just doing like technical test screenings. So they're free for like friends and family of the curators. Eventually, I think they're trying to charge like a membership and then you can come to any and all the screenings. But it's really cool to see these like films that people you wouldn't otherwise watch. You know, this last Sunday, we watched a Southern Korean movie called Save the Green Planet. which Paige has talked about the entire time I've known her. And it was very weird. And it was a great time. So,
yeah. That is so cool. And I laughed with the mist because it was a huge, the ending, which we won't get into, was a huge hot button topic when we were on the HMC Studios episode for the mist. And Tawny loved it. And most of us hated it.
And everyone else hated
it. Not the movie, but the ending.
Yeah. It's a very divisive ending, but I love it. I stand by it. It's great. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to.
Fun.
Yeah. What have you been up to? Right. Watching, doing?
Family and friends. I have some things here I'm very excited to talk about. And I was very proud of myself that we did watch these movies, these big movies, like for the Academy Awards and stuff like that. Let me just rephrase. I'll give it crap about the Academy Awards. And I didn't watch the Academy Awards because I just knew something was going to happen that was going to make me angry. But I'm always curious afterwards, especially if I see a movie that I think did really good. I'm like, oh, I wonder, were they nominated or not? And so the first thing, I'll start from the lower end.
Okay. And we'll work our way up.
The big finale. Yes. Okay. So my oldest came home from college. She wanted to watch Damsel really bad. Not an Academy Award winner, but it has the girl, Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah. From Stranger Things and Damsel, Dragon, a Damsel. It was a lot of fun. She did a really good job.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Like it was fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you saw it. Okay. I'm trying to gauge, like, for you that aren't watching us on YouTube, Tawny has a reaction. So then I pause.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Not to interrupt. Keep going.
No. Did you like it? Did you like, okay.
I did. Jade and I watched it and I had it on my list and I was going to mention it, but I had fun with it. I liked it, but it wasn't like mind blowing. And so I didn't mention it, but Jade didn't like her acting and it like distracted him the whole time, and so I didn't notice. It didn't bother me at all. Like, it didn't take me out of the movie. I will say, or no, sorry, that's a different movie. Jade was also distracted by her makeup. She was in like full glam makeup and I tried to make a lot of excuses for it at the beginning, but then like as the movie went on and on, I was like, all right, I got, like, she's got like fake eyelashes on, like this does not make sense. But it was a fun movie. Yeah. Okay. Tell me what you guys thought.
I won't say any details, but there was this one scene where she has gone through a lot.
Yes.
And then she falls asleep under this rock. And then she comes out from the rock and her makeup and her lashes are flawless. And I was like, I said to everybody, I was like, the makeup artists back in the day were on point.
They
were able to do your makeup to face any situation. I do agree. I noticed the makeup too. She looked phenomenal, but it was like, this makeup was perfect. There was just like some smudges after going through this like horrific thing, but I thought she did good and it was fun. And again, it's a movie I could watch with my kids and we all really enjoyed it. So
it was really pretty. It was like a visually very interesting movie. Yeah. And I think that's why the makeup didn't bother me, because like everything kind of had this like shininess. Like I liked the set design, the like wardrobe was good. Like
I thought the dragon was good.
Yeah, dragon was great.
CGI, but it didn't look distractingly CGI. It was really cool looking.
Yeah, the whole like art direction of the movie I felt like was really cool, because I liked the I liked the art direction of the dragon too. It was like kind of part lizard, part cat. Like it was, the voice was really great for the dragon. Yeah. It was fun. I did enjoy this movie for sure. It was a good time. And I liked how the stakes were high. That was one of the things that I enjoyed. It was like people actually fucking died. It was kind of brutal it was just more brutal than I was expecting it to be. So that was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Next, we watched Wonka with Timothée Chalamet, and it's a musical. So at first when they started singing, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for this, because the kids talked me into it. And then they started singing. I'm like, oh, guys, I didn't know it was a musical. I like musicals, but I need to be ready to be within a musical.
Right.
for it to work for me. And they're like, please, mom. So I watched it. I do say go into it with just a fun, whimsical heart, because that's what it is. It is fun and whimsical. I thought it was really pretty and it was cool. I liked Timothy Chalamet. I liked the origins of Wonka. And then I did cry. So if you have any nostalgia to Wonka in general from the original, there are some moments that make you feel nostalgic. And there was one time where they played the music that was in the old Wonka. They played this particular song and I got all emotional about it. But it was because of the nostalgia piece of it. Grew up with that movie and just like, you know, just loved the idea of going to this candy land. So it was cute. So that's what I have to say there. So go into it knowing it'll be whimsically cute and they sing. So you have to go into that too.
That way you're emotionally prepared for
Yes, exactly. Wonka.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just mention this too. There's a show with Nicolas Cage, a movie called Dream Scenario. Oh my gosh, you guys, Dream Scenario. Oh, what was it on? It is so curious. I really would love to know what you think, Tawny. I would love to just, it's a 2023 film. It is on Hulu. We watched it on Hulu or Amazon Prime. We watched it on one of those. But it was about this professor who's showing up in people's dreams. He doesn't know the people, like all over the world, people are dreaming of him. And all different types of dreams. And he's like, okay, this is cool. He has no idea why. But then he starts doing bad things to the people in the dreams. So it was very curious. It's definitely a commentary on cancel culture. And for that reason, I really, really liked it. It was a very cool movie. It's called Dream Scenario. I would check it out.
I just can't make that. I don't know how we got there. It's like,
you will though. If you watch it, you'll be like, oh shit, this is what's happening. You'll see. I don't want to give anything away. If you watch it, it will be, you'll be like, oh, these things will come to you. I promise.
What kind of genre is it?
It was dark comedy, I think, because there were some pieces. I believe it said it was dark comedy, but I can say it wasn't comedy like, say, that demon little, those little zombie people. What was that movie called that I liked? What was it?
You don't know what you're talking about. I don't. No, I don't know what you know.
No, you don't. With the zombies and the teacher and all the little kids and.
Oh, Little Monsters?
It was supposedly, it was supposedly a comedy, but you know how I felt about that?
This is going to be a tough sell for me because I don't like Nicolas Cage.
I know. It's a black comedy fantasy.
Okay.
Not fantasy, though. Fantasy makes me think of like Game of Thrones, but it wasn't like that. It was, I know how you feel about Nick Cage, but this was not typically like, he's a different character, I feel, than he typically plays as the leading man that, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. I think you should try it. Okay. Just try it. Okay. I'm curious. Dream scenario.
Noted.
Okay, now to my two last things that are my most exciting shares. We watched Killers of the Flower Moon, 3.5 hours. We started it on Saturday. It took us obviously a big chunk of the day, but I can say Scorsese did this one too. Just like Schindler's List, and I say Schindler's List because that's the first, I feel like, 3.5 hour movie I watched where I didn't feel like, gosh, when is this thing going to be over? Like, it was so wrapped up into the story and the characters that I just was there for the ride. Same with Killers of the Flower Moon, I have to admit. There wasn't a point where I was like, wow, this is taking forever. I was engaged with the story. I was curious with what was happening. The acting was phenomenal. Good story. Something I'd never heard about before. I guess it's based by a nonfiction novel. Mm. And amazing acting. Good movie. Yeah, I would say it was a good movie. Yeah.
But this one's on the list for sure.
Oh.
I just. Yeah. Yeah. Don't. It's a good movie. Where did you watch it?
We watched it on, I think, Max, HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
I believe either HBO Max or, sorry, I clicked it. Not Max. I'm a dork. Apple TV.
Oh, it was on Apple TV. Okay. I'm just waiting for it to come up on something that I can watch it on, and then I probably will.
Okay. Yeah, we canceled our Apple TV, so we went in purposely to watch shows before it's done at the end of the month.
Gotcha. God, we're gonna have to start it back up though when Severance comes back. I don't know when that will be, but it is coming back for sure.
Yeah, I told there's something else I'm watching with my oldest. I don't remember what it was called, but they like live in this underground cylinder-shaped multi-floor place.
Silo.
People watch it. Yes. I said oh yes, Silo. Sorry, I said silicone. I don't know what that.
Oh, that, I heard or, cylinder.
Cylinder. I meant I said cylinder, but it was because it's called Silo. But it is a cylinder. So anyway, that's when that comes back, we're going to have to watch it. Okay, guys, this is what I'm most excited to talk to you about. And then I'll shut up. We watched Poor Things.
I'm so excited to hear what you thought.
My God. Okay. So when it started, it was just me and my oldest that watched it. I don't think Steve would have liked it per se, but I fucking love this movie. So when I first watched it, I was left with, what? But it was very beautiful and Emma Stone was phenomenal. That was what I meant at the very beginning of all of our talking with the Academy Awards. I specifically Googled to see if she was nominated for an Oscar for this. And I saw that she won. I watched her speech. It was so, so sweet and adorable and awesome. Dude, blow your fucking mind, her acting and all the acting in the movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. And the more I have simmered with it, I love it more and more and more and more. All the way to the point where I think I would give it 5 out of 5. I don't know if I would have given it that right after I watched it because I was like, I don't know what I just experienced here. But after simmering with it, yeah, just absolutely phenomenal. Wow. She's, I have so much respect for her. After this movie, it's just incredible. Just incredible. I'm so happy I watched this movie. I think you all should go watch it. I don't think all of you will like it, but I want you to experience it.
Yeah. It's. I try not to like say anything about it to people who haven't seen it because it's one of those movies that's really best just going in blind. But I will say that you have to buckle up for like a weird ride, like just mentally prepare yourself for a weird movie. But it does such a good job, I feel like, of throwing you into this like wild, like they just throw you into the deep end. But as you move along the movie, you're like, okay, I'm here for this. And God, I loved it so much too. And Jade loved it. Like, it is such an incredible, it's definitely one of the best movies of last year that I've seen. And I haven't seen a lot of the top ones. But for sure, this would be in my, I feel like I want to say that it's like tied for my top spot, but I don't know. I feel like.
What tied with what?
I feel like Barbie takes it still. I think Barbie was my number one film of 2023. And then number two, I think I'd say Saltburn and Poor Things are like tied. Like, some days I feel like I liked Poor Things more, and then other days I feel like I liked Saltburn more. It just like it's in flux.
Oh, for me, for sure, Saltburn, Poor Things, and then Barbie is down there because I went to watch Barbie again with Steve, and when we were visiting my family, and I didn't enjoy it as much the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely, hands down, the way I've gushed and like lost my mind over Saltburn and Poor Things, though that would be my tie, I think. Saltburn and Poor Things.
Yeah,
because I feel like Saltburn, maybe because that horror aspect, it has a little bit of an edge to Poor Things for me. But when I think of Emma Stone, I can't even, she makes me want to cry. how amazing she was in this movie.
Yeah.
It just, because all the movies I've seen her in, right? She's just so cute and fun. And then this movie, wow, just blew me away.
Yeah. It's so, 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 so good. Highly recommend. Anybody listening who hasn't seen it, you definitely should check it out. It's on Hulu. And thank God Felicia gave me her Hulu login so that I could watch it again.
Don't let Hulu hear that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I have. Amazing. I watched a lot of movies, a lot of new movies, so I was proud of myself.
Nice. Well done. You're catching up. I got to do some catching up, too. I want to watch Killers of the Flower Moon, The Holdovers. What else was like up?
Ooh, I want to watch The Holdovers, too.
Yeah. Past Lives. I want to watch that. It's just not enough time in the day to watch all these movies.
No one beats Emma Stone for Best Actress. This is something where I was hands down like, yes, 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 she should have won Best Actress for this, hands down. And she did. And that's great.
I'm glad also that they won for Best Costume. That's one of my favorite parts of the movie. I mean, I love the movie and I love the themes and like all of that. The acting's great, but oh my God, the costume design was just phenomenal. I just loved it.
I just wish that's how we dressed these days.
Me too. I'm like, give me those big ass sleeves, dude.
Yeah, I want to wear that stuff so bad.
Me too. I was like, I came across like an inspiration post of somebody who was like, if you want to dress like Bella Baxter in Poor Things, here's an inspo album. And I was like, yes, please.
Yes. But
everything was very expensive.
Can you imagine if I just showed up to my my Zoom trainings for work with a Bella Baxter outfit on?
Bella Baxter sleeves.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. All right, guys. All right. There we go. Hopefully we inspired you to do some watching.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So we're here for The Ritual 2017. I watched it on Netflix. So go watch it ASAP. It's on there. The director was David Bruckner. He also did VHS, VHS 94, VHS 99, Hellraiser, and The Night House. Probably some other stuff as well.
The writer... Hellraiser, was that the new one? Or...
Oh, that's a good thing. I don't know.
I just said
Hellraiser.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of these movies. So, I know some of them like VHS. I should have seen it, but I haven't. The writer, it was a novel. It was based on a novel by Adam Neville. So there you go. The cast, Rafe Spall. God, I love this guy. He's in so much. I love him. He was Luke. Arshar Ali was Phil. Robert James Collier was Hutch. Sam Trufton was Dom. And then Paul Reed was Robert. I really love Rafe Spall.
He's that's the main guy. Okay. Yeah.
I love him. He's in so many movies and I always love his character in the movies. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't really find a budget, but the box office was 1.6 million.
Yeah. That makes sense because it's a Netflix movie. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So 1.6 million. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 74%. IMDb gave it 6.3 out of 10. Letterboxd 3.2 out of 5. I have a little summary here. Reuniting after the tragic death of their friend, four college pals set out to hike through the Scandinavian wilderness. A wrong turn leads them into the mysterious forests of Norse legends, where an ancient evil exists and stalks them at every turn.
Yes.
Before I ask you how you felt about this movie, Tawny, I feel like I do need to say that these guys, these four friends lost in the Scandinavian wilderness with these scary Norse beast and creepy ass people, they could have really used some magic mind. I'm just telling
Definitely.
You. Especially because in Magic Mind, which are those little shot drinks, right? They're tiny. They could have put them in their pack. Wouldn't have
travels
any
well.
Weight. Yeah, it travels super well. It also has cordyceps, which strengthens your immune system and supports physical endurance. If anyone has seen this movie, they needed a lot of physical endurance. And a lot of them were, you know, kind of lacking on that end, which was putting him into some very precarious situations. I feel like Luke had the most physical endurance, but some other ones.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, Dom definitely needed it with his knee, huh? He was like really hurting there at the end.
Oh, yeah, he was. So definitely they needed some magic wine. But guess what? If you're planning any trips to the scariest part of Sweden, or if you're planning on any other type of survivalist type adventures, we totally recommend that you should stock up on your Magic Mind. So you can go check them out at magicmind.com/Jan, J-A-N, 2 chicks. And that's T-W-O chicks, C-H-I-C-K-S. And you can also use our discount code 2chicks20. So 2-T-W-O chicks, C-H-I-C-K-S. And then the number 20 to get 20% off any order, both one-time purchases and subscriptions. So definitely go check it out.
Yeah. And you don't have to be going on a super terrifying hiking trip to drink them either. You can just drink them to focus better at work, which is what I did earlier today. So highly recommend.
Well, if you're a regular listener, you also know that we took them on relaxing vacations where didn't have to stress at all about anything. So I really think that there's no scenario where they wouldn't, these little shots would not be helpful. A good little, helpful little carry on.
Yeah. Except for maybe right before bed. Don't do that. But any other time.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Not right before bed unless you don't want to sleep maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So Tawny, what did you think about this movie?
I really enjoy this movie. I feel like it's great. Watched it right when it came out. And so this was the second time watching it. I never went back and watched it again after the first time. And it really stuck with me. Like, I remembered a handful of scenes still from this movie, having only watched it once a handful of years ago. It was funny because Jade was asking me how old it was. He also watched it and loved it, but he like couldn't remember what the movie was. And so I was like, we watched it kind of recently. I was like, maybe not super recently, but like a handful of years ago. And then I looked up the year. He was like, oh, 7 years ago. So, I don't know. Time stopped after 2020. And I was just thinking like a few years, but I really enjoy it. I feel like this is a great, you said like folk horror, and I feel like it kind of turns a little bit of the tropes on its head. This like lost in the woods, which I think is super terrifying. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. And I always feel like this is, you know, the male group like from The Descent. You know what I mean? Like it feels like The Descent to me. Kind of in that way, because there's like, because of the internal group kind of politics a little bit, which I think is really great and serves the story. So yeah, I love it. How did you feel?
That's awesome. What a great comparison. A male version of The Descent. That's a great comparison. I also really liked it. I really enjoyed this movie. I love folk horror. It's absolutely hands down my favorite genre. I just love it. Horror laced in with religion. And that could be pagan religions, spiritualities, anything like that. I just really love it. I thought it was very scary. I thought the acting was great. I was scared with the different things that were happening, and the idea of being lost in the woods and how they portrayed that was just like terrifying. How would you ever get out? It was extremely stressful. I liked how they weaved in those elements. I loved the beast in it, how you only got these glimpses. And I found myself rewinding because I would look in the background to see something and I didn't see it until it moved. And then I'd want to rewind it so that I could see it again. I just really loved all of that. I thought it was a really scarily fun movie.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
I like the character design too. And I feel like I liked that part more this second time that I watched it. Because I think the first time I was like so thrown. I was so thrown off. Once you see it, that I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I liked it more this time. And I think it's just probably looking at more and more monsters and kind of experiencing more movies where there is kind of this monster in it. Like, they did do a very good job of not showing it too much, where it stayed a mystery and stayed scary.
Yeah, I will say my only thing I had noted down was at the end where you do see this monster fully and it kind of pacing back and forth, especially when Luke makes it out of the forest and you can see it at the edge. It isn't as scary anymore. It it just looks like a very weird animal, you know, and it gives you this feeling that you could kill it versus when it's stalking them and you're only seeing weird glimpses of it, like the hand in the tree and that it's moving really fast was a lot more scary. And I'd wondered, I didn't find anything about it, but I was curious if that was the point. Like it, this thing is so daunting and terrifying, but then maybe your fears aren't what they seem. They're not as scary as they seem, but I didn't see anything as that being a theme. And I guess that wouldn't make sense since to all his friends, it's pretty damn scary because they're all dead.
Yeah, well, but I don't know. Maybe you could read it that way from the main character because his whole arc is that, you know, he was in the store when his friend is attacked by these people robbing it. And so he dies as kind of a result of his inaction. Not that I think he could have maybe done anything. I don't feel like he did anything wrong necessarily. But yeah, like maybe you could read it that way, is that now that he has some more perspective, like the thing that he was scared of, it wasn't actually that scary and he was able to defeat it. Maybe that's how he feels about the first attack. But I also don't think, I don't know that, I don't think that that's what the movie is like trying to say.
I would love to talk about that for a second, the very beginning where they're in the store. I don't know if they could have done this differently to really drive home him being cowardly, because honestly, I don't know what he could have done. I almost felt like it was almost, I don't know if I'm using this toxic masculinity correct. Maybe I'm not, but it is really, it's really tough for men in the sense that they should be able to overtake and protect anybody in any situation, which is just not reality. Where he was at, they didn't see him. They clearly saw his friend because he was right in the way. And so he ducked behind these aisles. What was he supposed to do? Just stand there? I'm not going to duck behind the aisle and possibly save my own life. He didn't draw attention to his friend. His friend was very clearly in the path, sight path of the two robbers that had like this crowbar or what have you. And so then he is sitting there behind with a wine bottle. He was so far away from their guys. There was no way he could have snuck up on them. There was no, he could have jumped up and run at them with the wine bottle and they would have just beat the shit out of him and probably killed him and his friend. Yeah. I just didn't think it was a situation at all where honestly he could have saved his friend. What I did think was his friend cost himself his own life. Give him the fucking wedding ring.
Yeah.
Period. If it's your wife they're wanting to take, okay, stand up. But it's your wedding ring. Give him the wedding ring. Give him your wallet. His friend's like, no, I'm not going to give him my wedding ring. And he got himself killed. That's how I see it.
No, I agree. We felt the same way. We were like, really? The person in the wrong here is him for fighting, giving up the wedding ring because it's like replaceable and who cares? I think maybe you could say that it might not have made a difference either. You know, like these people seemed like they were very volatile people. We didn't know what they were going to do.
How about his friend putting his life in danger by not just handing over his wedding ring? His friend who died wants him to risk his life because he's not willing to give him over his wedding ring.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that's reasonable.
I'm really mad about this. It's not reasonable. So, Tawny, if we're in this situation, give me your fucking wedding ring, okay? I will do my best to save you, but if you were like risking our lives over your wedding ring, it's not going to happen.
No, definitely. I'd be the same way. If I were there standing next to that person, and I was a part of that altercation, I'd be like, give him the fucking ring. Are you kidding?
The fucking ring. And if you were looking at me like, come on, Felicia, get out here with your wine bottle, I'd be like, fucking give him your ring.
Yeah. Fucking do it.
Give him the ring.
Yeah. No, I don't. I hear what you're saying, but I think that's what makes it good. I think that's what makes it a good scene, because I don't think that really he was in the wrong, but you would feel guilty if you were that person and that happened to you. I think that's the point of it, is that it puts us in his mindset about it. And there is this question, because you would always feel, even if that was the right thing to do for yourself and no one would question you, number one, you would always feel bad about it. And number two, I bet your friends would also question it because they weren't there. They didn't see what happened. You know, and also I think you can't expect somebody to do something that you think you might do in a situation like that, because you may not even react the way that you think, you know?
Yeah. And I do feel that this is more applicable to men than women. I really do. I feel that your male friends would expect you to have done something, because in their own mind, they feel like, oh, this is what I would have done. Right. And it just plays into that. Nothing against men. It just plays into that. They are the protectors sort of thing that they have to, you know, live with. You're the protectors. Everyone looks to you, versus women have to be more careful, because often we are victimized. Right. In lots of various ways. And often we're looked at as the people, you know, that you need to protect. I mean, even in the even in like war, you know, don't kill women and children, you know, like, is not typically, I don't know. You know what I'm saying is like, this is something that people say. It's not like women and children aren't killed all the time in war, but there's just this idea in.
Yeah. In it wouldn't world. Be, this wouldn't work the same way if we had a cast of women.
Mm-hmm. No, because like, if it, I was like, there was no way I could have done it. I think that was, it would be accepted more than if it was a group of men.
Totally.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought this again when they are like, this beast is taking people, and you're sitting there and you're like, I should run after the friend that it took and do what?
You know, right.
You'd be so terrified. Not that you shouldn't go after your friend, but I could also understand like why you wouldn't, or what a hard decision that would be, especially in this, like, what is this thing? It'd be so terrifying.
Yeah, like when they leave the tents, you're like, oh, fuck. It's like the middle of the night. You're not going to catch him. Like, you're going to lose. You're going to get lost. And then you're going to lose all your stuff, because it's with the campsite. And you can get lost in the forest so fucking easily and so fast. You know, like, there's no fucking way you'd be able to make your way back. And so that was, like, not a great decision. That was one of the things that rewatching kind of annoyed me this time, is I didn't pick up on it the first time, and I didn't remember it, but like, they do make a lot of bad decisions. And so that was annoying me. Like what? Just the whole setup kind of is like, I don't really love the idea of like trying to off-road after that guy hurts his knee. Like, there's two paths that we can see as the audience, and it's the way that they came, which just looks like open fields of nothing. And then there's, let's cross mountains. Like, the verticality is insane. You'd have to cross like three fucking peaks to get to the lodge where they're going.
Oh, that's true.
And I'm just like, I don't think that this makes sense, because that's going to be harder on this guy's knee than just like this flat way. Like, yeah, it might be longer, but God, it'd be harder.
They should have made the shortcut really look like a shortcut.
Yeah. Because it did not. I was like, that would be days. You'd be hiking for days.
Well, they said like they'd be there by the evening if they went that way.
Yeah.
But no. It didn't look that way. You're absolutely right. They should have made it more like, oh, yeah, I would totally take that route. It doesn't look that bad. Because then once you get into the forest, it traps you in there.
Yeah. And you can get lost so easy, you know?
Yeah. So going into it, maybe should have been like an illusion of where it doesn't look like that dense of a forest, pretty straightforward. There's our goal. We can make it there by evening.
Yeah. I would have bought that more. And then, you know, it's like they run after that guy in the middle of the night. That was like not a good decision. It's like, I don't know. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head, but I wondered if
Luke ran after that guy because he didn't step up for his friend in the store. And so
I definitely,
now,
yeah,
he has that moment, right? Of he's like, do I look after him or don't I? Yeah. Or, I'm sorry. Do I go after him or don't I? And then he does.
Yeah. I definitely think that's the intent, but like, I don't know that I buy it because these are incredibly different circumstances, you know, like,
yeah,
again, you're, it's in the middle of the night. You're not going to fucking, you're just going to get lost. Like, I don't know.
Okay. So I have some trivia. Let me interject here.
Okay.
So the original tagline for the movie that was going to be used in advertising was they should have gone to Vegas. But due to the massacre in Vegas that took place in October 2017, the tagline was changed to they should have gone to Ibiza.
Mm. That's so hard. I was thinking about that like recently because there was something else that came up that I was reading about, and it was like, God, I can't even imagine having spent so much time and effort on something and then like, oh no, you know, you just hope you catch it before it goes out to the public.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it could really, I mean, things go out all the time. I see things all the time where people are being just like literally canceled and just reamed for something they posted that they happened to post where right
they didn't
around
realize,
that time
yeah.
or right after that time something horrible happens and people are making a connection and the connection really wasn't there in the beginning, but now because of the current state people are making those links that weren't there, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Gosh, that seems just like, yeah, intense. But they changed it. I really went into the mythology portion of the movie because I found that to be the most interesting aspect of the movie. So I have an interesting fact. I don't necessarily want to call it fun after you hear what I have to say.
Okay.
But the sign the hikers see on the trees near the cabin is... all the different signs are from the Futhark. Sorry, anybody who's into this who doesn't know, like runes. So it's the runes of the Futhark, which is an ancient Germanic alphabet. And so those are what all the different things are, runes, right? Also called the Odal or Othala. I do want to say that this particular one, the Odal or the Othal, in the 20th century, here, you know, the Nazis can always ruin stuff for us. Nazis in Germany adopted the Othal rune. Mm. And among many other symbols like this. So if you do see it on any kind of like white supremacist or anything like that type of group, is because Nazi Germany did adopt this symbol as a part of their attempt to reconstruct this mythic Aryan past because it comes from Norse. Yeah. So you might see, but it's not originally have anything to do with like the Nazis. But unfortunately, since they adopted some of these things, you see them now. That's what you attribute them to. And they find it like many other things. Besides Othala Odal rune, the Algis, and I apologize to anybody who's a scholar in this, rune can be seen on trees as the shape of the sacrificial pole. Algis is the name conventionally given to the Z rune of the Elder Futhark runic alphabet from the common Germanic word for elk, and it is thought to represent the divine might of the universe.
Mm, interesting. Okay.
I'm just going to continue on with this. The creature in the film. So I looked at this and I tried to find like ancient carvings. I found like one picture. But when you do look up this creature, a lot of it is like current people drawing this creature, which they're very cool to see, though, how they draw it. But there is a carving of it. But the creature in the film is actually based on the, I'm going to say this wrong, Jotnar. Jotnar, but the O has little dots over it. So I'm totally butchering it. From Norse mythology, this is mentioned with captions turned on and was what the woman in the cabin identified the creature as to Luke. But I missed it because I did not have captions on.
Okay.
So this particular thing, the Jotun, whatever, in Norse mythology, is most commonly known as a species of giant that is marked for having superior strength and the advantage of massive size to tower over their mythological rivals. And in classical stories, they aren't too dissimilar from a troll or an ogre. However, when they were translating these ancient texts, some people felt that they weren't really as big, that like ogre or the size attributed to them, that they were inaccurately called giants and they actually weren't as big. But that's just a fun fact. They are also frequently attested throughout the Old Norse record, also featured in the Old English epic poem of Beowulf, which a lot of people know about. There's also a female of this species, and the females are typically depicted as very beautiful.
So it's like multiple, or is it just, I guess I assumed there was
like
just
one. It's like a species. Like if you think of giants and ogres and like a species of mythical beings.
Okay.
They typically have similar powers as the gods and may be referred to by the negative term of troll or purrs. And also in the carving, it was very interesting. I don't think I have it in my notes. I don't. The carving, there was a man. So men sometimes would ride these beasts. So in the carving, there's a man sitting on this beast. And if you look at this carving, I'll post it. Please remind me if I forget. It looks like that beast in this movie when it stands up. Looks like man and elk, and it looks like a mixture of all these different beings. And that is kind of like taken from that carving. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely want to see this because this is one of the things I liked the most about the creature is that it does like at different angles and different times. It looks like different. It looks like a person. It looks like an elk. It looks like, do elk have horns? What is the other thing that I'm thinking of? I don't know. But you feel like it looks like a bunch of different animals.
Yeah, and I feel like man. That, it's all like mixed together.
Yeah. Oh, it's the little like eyes. It's like the weird hooded eyes. Like, that's so fucking weird.
And the but hands I really are, like it. Are yeah. human as well. Yeah, it is very cool.
Did it have like chicken feet? Was that another thing?
It had really weird feet.
Cause that was the deity. Like that's what the little sculpture was in the first shack that they find in the, attic. The little like chicken feet. Do you remember this?
Yes. Yes. Cause he looked specifically at his feet.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to put it in our Discord between you and I, if you want to see the little man on the thing, but it has those chicken feet, this weird tail. Yeah. It's almost like a lion tail, but it's a man riding it. And that's kind of like the portion that is the man.
Weird. Okay. So weird.
Super weird. Jotun. Yeah. And if you look up that, Jotun.
I have no idea how you say that.
There's really cool modern carvings of this thing. Oh, dude, I'm gonna send you this. Don't worry, we'll link them.
Yeah, we'll put this.
It's just like really cool modern stuff that people have done about this thing.
Oh yeah, weird.
So weird. I will say the little glowing eyes, when I first saw them, I was like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about this. But then once it got to him and then stood up and did this praying sort of posture, I was like, oh, this thing is cool. But I think the more we did see it, especially we saw it running, it was, okay, this is an animal that can be killed. And so it wasn't as scary to me, I think, towards the end. But again, I don't know. Maybe that was the point. And just so everybody knows, in this particular, the kind of core of the people, so this group of guys, they're having nightmares, they're losing their minds, they're running around, they're getting totally killed and disemboweled. And then the two guys get taken by this group of crazy pagan people. These crazy people. I don't even know pagan. I just use pagan, anything that's not, you know, organized religion wise. But they take him and they're prepping his friend to be offered to this beast and all this sort of thing. So I have a snippet about this ritual. So according to the ritual, ancient Scandinavian people, these people that I'm talking about, they're ancient Scandinavian people who were burdened with emotional pain. They were sometimes granted an otherworldly escape. Their gods sent a nameless beast to erase their suffering. The beast gave every tortured person a choice: submit and worship it for life, or die in unimaginable pain. So that's why Luke specifically was marked to being someone who could like join this weird clan, because his burden of emotional pain was more significant than his friends. So yeah, he was being given an option. It's not a very great option.
Right. Oh my God.
I think I'd rather live with this guilt of, you know, being able to stick up for my friend when I didn't, than living this gross, weird life with these gross, weird people out in the middle of nowhere.
It looks fucking this miserable. Beast.
Miserable. They're miserable.
They're like dirty and they clearly seem to be starving. And it's just like,
they clearly don't have toothbrushes or anything like that.
Yeah. Just not fun. No, thank you. I'll pass.
Yeah. They're in rags. They're just deteriorating. Absolutely yuck.
Absolutely not.
I could go back to the modern world and see a psychiatrist and, you know, probably have a pretty decent life than this, and having to sacrifice people. I mean, I wonder what happens. Is there that many people that travel through this forest?
And oh, you know, I think they said something. Didn't they say something about it? I think maybe there was a mention of like this only happening like once a year, that they like have to sacrifice people. So that made more sense to me. Cause I was also feeling like, everybody would be dead. You don't have that many people around to even sacrifice. But I think they said something about it being like once a year or something. And I was like, oh, okay.
So I wonder if during that part of the trail, that makes sense, because Steve and I got in this weird obsession of watching documentaries about people who hike the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
You know, all the way up and down. And so people do that shit. That's nuts. I mean, I understand why they do that. This is something I would never do. I'm not made for it. But so, but
I don't know anything about it. I wouldn't do it either.
Oh my God. It is like from Georgia to Maine.
Oh, so it's like just really long?
Months and months and months and months. Like,
no.
I don't even remember 6+ months of just living on the trail.
No.
Oh, yeah. This is like, kudos to all of you who do that, or if you aspire to do that, this is something I would never do. And it brings me comfort to know that I don't ever have to do it as well.
Yes.
So, but people, tons of people do it constantly. So I get that this trail, if it is something that's popular, and I'm assuming it is because these four guys found it, you know, and are like, let's do it. That may be, I wonder if the one guy, when he fell and hurt his knee, if that is part of the magical lore as well.
Oh.
To get someone to get, I mean, because what if the year's going on and no one is taking the shortcut, right?
Right.
Quotes. And so they're like, oh, we need to make sure that they this way. Yeah. How can you make sure that someone goes through the forest?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because it didn't actually seem that difficult, the hike that they did. I mean, we only see the end of it, but they're like, they make it to their destination and then they're on their way back down. It seemed like it just wasn't that crazy of a hike.
It looks long, right? Because they were assuming if they go through the forest, they're going to cut a whole day off their thing. But it was flat. It was very flat. It just looks like a big loop.
Yeah, it's like, obviously that would suck and it'd be a lot of walking, but like technically challenging, not as much.
Oh gosh, that guy's knee, once he really tore open his pants and you could see it, because everyone was like, oh my God, you're being such a pain. Your knee isn't really that hurt. And then he takes off his pant leg and it
was even gnarly. After yeah, like, is it that they're looking at it and he and they're like still giving him shit? They're like, you're gonna have to push through the pain barrier. And it's like, it looks so fucked up. I was like, okay, I mean, I know everybody wants to get out of here, but fuck, give him a break.
Yeah, I feel like in the beginning he did a really good job, but he's just kind of a complainer. Then yeah. When I saw his knee, I'd be, oh shit. I think they did have a moment where he's like, oh, his knee is really bad. Like, yeah. They were whispering.
Yeah.
But then you're like, come on, man, stop complaining. It looked like he was going to lose his leg. It was bad.
It was bad. Yeah. Stop giving him shit.
Yeah.
But I guess I can get that too, because you're trying to like downplay the situation and like, we just got to keep moving and hurry it up. One thing that I did like that I wrote down, I really loved this point that was made when they left the first cabin. So it was like after the first night where they stayed in the cabin and had all the nightmares. And one of the guys, I cannot remember like everybody's name because there's just like too many dudes. But one of them, the one that wakes up praying to the statue in the attic.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite parts.
That
for
was
sure.
Phil.
Phil. Okay, so Phil is talking about this. It's like he wants to talk about what everybody's dreams were and like wants to have a conversation about it. And everybody's like fed up and they don't want to deal with it. And finally, the leader, not our main guy, but the leader of this like group turns around, Hutch. And he's like, I don't want to fucking talk about ghosts. I don't want to psychoanalyze our dreams because we have some very real problems out here. And I really liked that. I was like,
yeah,
that's such a good realistic moment, because he's not wrong at all. Like, yes, that thing that just happened to us was fucking weird, but and it feels connected to what's happening here in the forest, but what are we gonna figure something out by talking about it? Like, most likely not. Let's just not think about it and focus on getting out of here. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, absolutely, because even if they did sit and talk about it, conclusion that would have been helpful. It wouldn't have helped at all. It would never have enlightened them to what was to come. No. So it's better to just tuck it away. Let's get out of here. And then when we get out of here, we can all share and talk about what happened.
Yeah. Then we can unpack this, but let's go.
God. And even when he was in the cabin, when Luke was in the cabin and his friend was being taken and he was trying to, and he broke his thumb to get out of the thing to try to save his friend. Again, though, like, what do you do? Oh, God,
yeah.
I'm never in this position where somebody has to, I want to believe that I'm going to rally, but I'm going to be terrified. I'm just not gonna know what to do, and I hope I save you guys. I hope. But I just don't know.
Me too. I would love to say that I would, but I am definitely a freezer. Like, fight, flight, or freeze. Like, I am a freezer. I'm hiding. I'm being quiet. And if that doesn't work, I'm gonna play Kate. And then just, I don't know what happens after that. Maybe flight. Fight will be my last thing that I hit.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. He really did try. And then he kind of fucked everybody up. He did. I really like at the end when he's up in the attic with all the not dead people and he just very slowly lights one of them on fire. Jade and I had a good laugh about that. It was like unintentionally funny, I think. He was just like, yeah. Okay, bye-bye. Here you go. Let me help you.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was weird with all those dead people. I don't even know.
I had forgotten about that entirely. It was weird.
But cool movie. Cool idea. I did think, I was talking to my daughter, my oldest, watched it with me. And she, I always love to say, oh my God, what happened when he got back to camp? And he looks all effed up. He's going to be the main suspect. All his friends are dead.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
But then what's going to happen? Like, how much detail? Me and my daughter had a whole conversation about it. I was like, I definitely would highlight that there were these weird culty people kidnapping us and killing us. I don't know if I'd mention the beast. I just don't know. I might say they were feeding us to some animal, but I don't know what the animal was. So maybe I would say that. But they were like a cult. They were taking us. They said they were sacrificing us to some being. I don't know how they, because if they went in, they would see that people were strung up in the trees. I just wouldn't want to think I did all that shit. They would see the burned down cabin if they made it to the cabin, or is the magic going to cover the tracks? You know, the fire lit up to lead them to the cabin. But then maybe all the police and investigators would go into the forest and also lose their lives. But then the people aren't there anymore. They're dead, right? Or they're not all dead. They're not necessarily all dead, actually. Are they? Were all those people dead, though? I think.
I feel like I don't. Well, maybe they are. I don't know. I
remember.
I mean, that would have been impressive.
I'm just always trying not to go to jail for a crime I didn't do. So I'm always thinking about this. Like, they're all going to be all those families of his friends.
Yeah, like, totally.
What did you do to my husband? What would you think?
Yeah.
What would you think if Jade went with his friends and like one guy came out and had this story about this mythical being? I don't, maybe we would believe it because we watch horror, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would be like, no fucking way.
That's killed him.
Yeah.
What did you do to him?
100% I would. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think you got a good call there to mention the people, but not mention the beast, because it does make you sound crazy or like you murdered them and you're trying to like throw people off the scent. But yeah, what do you tell the family? That sucks, because you want to be honest, but you also can't tell them because you sound like a crazy person.
Yeah, this cult, these cult people inside. But if the police went in there and they weren't able to find, like, maybe the beast, that's the once a year thing. So now the police
now
are able to go in and out and find nothing. No runes. Would they be able to find runes carved into the trees? Or is that just a part of the dream? The dead people are definitely hanging in the trees. Does the beast take them down? Like, is the beast smart enough to do that?
Yeah. And what is the beast even doing? This is kind of a separate question, but it reminded me, like, what is it doing? Like, I don't really understand. It doesn't seem to be eating people. So why does it keep having to take lives? Like, I don't know. You don't need it answered for you, but I was definitely curious. Like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, the thing I found was that one thing. So Scandinavian people who are burdened by emotional pain are sometimes granted otherworldly escapes. This is not an escape, though. This is not any type of an escape to be a slave to this beast, to submit and worship it for life or die an unimaginable pain. Like, to live a life. None of those people in that cabin were happy. They were creepy, starving, and scared. So this makes no sense. I did read something where it actually, in the Norse legend, terrorized women. There was like, okay, I also got the gist that these particular beings weren't negative until there was something about when Christianity came in. Because, you know, paganism, Christianity, so a lot of pagan type things were made evil, like Pan, who is the protector of the forest. He has goat legs.
Yeah.
And now this has become the devil, even though he was not evil at all. So I did read something like that, that these things, they might have been giants or trolls, but this isn't, these mythical beings aren't necessarily evil like we see ogres in fantasy movies where these things are evil. I guess a good example would be Lord of the Rings. Isn't the little guy like a troll or something? The small guy with the red beard? What is he? people who love.
He's Lord a dwarf. I think he's a dwarf.
A dwarf. Okay. So I think like these different mythical beings weren't necessarily evil, but then when Christianity came in, it made them evil and gave them this evil tone. So maybe when that happened, the full baked out story of why these things are evil wasn't finalized. Yeah,
wasn't present. That makes sense. But I did wonder, like, within the story, you know, it seems like this thing preys on, like, memories or... but it seems really different for our main character. And maybe it is because he has experienced a lot of pain. But, like, he, in his dreams, is seeing the incident with his friend. But then at the end, we see his other friend who survives till that cabin. Dom, we see that he sees his wife, but it seems like that's like a happy thing because he's glad to see her. And so we don't really know what happens with that because that's all we see before he dies. But it made me think something just about like, is this thing like, does this feed on people's memories or feelings or something? But we don't really get an answer, which is fine. It just, I was curious about it.
I don't have an answer either. I wonder if we were able to see what the other guy's nightmares were made of, that maybe we would be able to understand. Because were they also suffering from some despair, but it just wasn't as great as Luke's? Or
That's a good question. Because one of them did definitely like pee his pants because he was so scared. And the other guy who sees Gale does seem like he's scared in that moment, too. I don't know. Yeah, I'm really curious about this part of the movie. And I, like, part of me wishes that they had gotten into it a little bit more, but I don't mind that they didn't. I would just love a sequel that, like, talks more about this. Because I'm so curious because we don't get to know what their dreams were. Like, what happened to each of them individually.
I was just looking to see, I just Googled it really quick to see what some people said on Reddit. I saw, I didn't get the ending of the ritual. Could someone please explain it to me? Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of people that sound just like you and I. trying to figure out what's going on.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you though.
Do you think, I have like one more question written down. Do you think that woman at the cabin is one of the women from the family that they find the tents of earlier?
Ooh, yes. I didn't even think of that. I didn't even remember that. The tent they found earlier.
Yeah, we flip-flopped
on it. She definitely seems newer to the group, for sure.
And she can speak English to him. Mm-hmm. But the age isn't right. Like, because I think that there were parents, but that was in the 80s. And so that would have been, you know, 30, 40.
Was she one of the kids?
But yeah, that's what I was wondering. Maybe one of the kids.
Well, I don't remember. What did they say about the fam? I remember them finding some items from previous campers and hikers.
Yeah.
They said that it was from the 80s?
Yeah, because they found a credit card that expired in 84 or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
What if she was the kid? And, you know, as a kid, you can have unimaginable pain.
Yeah. I feel like there's so much happening in the background of this movie that is really interesting that could be further explored. Like, we can even get a prequel, right? Because of that. Like,
get a prequel with this family and just in general. Like, I would love that.
Yeah. Did you happen to find anything? Netflix, I feel like, is not like great about doing sequels or whatever. They seem to kind of be for movies, like one and done situation, but
I didn't when I was researching. And so then I said, any sequels for the ritual? And I see Reddit. The ritual needs a sequel, please. let's see. Is the ritual based on the Blair Witch Project? Definitely Blair Witch vibes for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't see anything about a sequel for the ritual. No.
Okay.
Just people saying it needs one.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, this is one I would like to see too. Some more stories before or after. I'm there for it. I'd love it.
Yeah. Give us the establishment of that weird group of people even. I'd take that.
Yeah. If you don't have much more about that particular beast as far as the legends, because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot. Yeah, just the people. Yeah. Like how they got there. And like it seems like the old lady was maybe one of the first.
That yeah.
What happened? What I was getting to.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
And tell me more about those dreams. What are the dreams of the other people? How do they pick? Like everyone has pain. They just pick the person with the worst pain is given the opportunity to what? Leave a miserable existence even more miserable than living in a normal world with guilt?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe those people in the attic are living their best lives in their head.
Well, like, maybe if this beast has marked them, maybe that pain is taken away of whatever it is that's causing you guilt. I mean, you have to submit and worship it for the rest of your life, but maybe the memories are taken away or something.
This seems like a very high maintenance god. Like, let's be honest. I don't think I could dedicate my whole life. No.
I'm not into it. I'd rather just live in my misery.
Yeah.
I'm just not into it at all.
Mm-mm. I'll talk to a therapist. That's funny.
Oh, I'll talk to a therapist. Exactly. I get free therapy through my work, some free sessions. I might just go that route. I might try actually, that first.
You're talking to it. Actually, we have an employee assistance program at my work. I think I'll just try that first. But you know what? If that doesn't work out, I'm totally willing to come back and give it another shot. I'm all yours at that point, you know, but I got to try this first.
You know, I mean, it's just part of my benefits, you know, like I got to give it a shot, right?
And then got to take back. Advantage. I got to take advantage of these benefits, okay?
Oh, man. All right, Tani, do you have anything else?
I don't. Let's rate it.
All right, let's do it. All right, Tani, how about you go first then? What do you score this movie?
I think I'm going to land at a 3.8.
Great score. How did you come to that score?
Well, I do really like this movie a lot, but I think rewatching it, I didn't have like as good of a time. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just that it felt really fresh the first time I watched it right when it came out, and now it doesn't feel as unique of a movie. But there are some unique things that I like about it. So I wanted to give it a 3.85, but I don't think I liked it as much as some of my other 3.85s. Like The Offering, which that's so recent. We just talked about that. But like Bones and All, even Talk to Me, which like I feel like I talked a lot of shit about that movie. But when I think about the experience of watching that movie, like, it's a very like high octane in engaging movie. And I feel like this one kind of falls into a little bit like of the same. It feels pretty samesies as far as like Lost in the Woods until the end, kind of. And there's a few things that they do really well in there, but I don't know. Rewatching it wasn't as good of an experience as the first time, but I still give it a good score because I do really enjoy it. So that's where I landed. I liked it more than my 3.75s, I think. Like A Girl Who Walks Home. Shit, I always fuck up this name. A Girl Who Walks Alone at Night, or like Freaky. I liked it more than those. So yeah.
Good score. Really good score. I was looking. Okay, I have the only 3.75s. I have Silent Hill, The Orphanage, Wicker Man. Oh, The Wicker Man.
I have been
recording
actually.
Recording The Wicker Man was just so much fun.
So fun. I got hit with like one of those moments like a few days ago where I was like, oh my God, I want to rewatch The Wicker Man.
It's so fun. I saw that as a kid. kid with my mom because my mom was into that old school movie. And gosh, I just remember recording with you and singing. And dude, it was so much fun.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is a freaking. We got to watch it again.
Yeah, we do. We got to have someone watch it with us.
Yeah. I was just thinking, too, like this would be a great like event type movie where you like have people over and you get some drinks and you fucking put it on. Oh,
and just talk about. Oh, God, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
OK, that is a great score. 3.8. So I'm going to give this movie a 3.5. And for me, that's a good score. I think the movies you mentioned, I agree. And based on the scores that I gave those movies, it kind of falls in line. So 3.5 movies I really liked that I feel like I enjoyed the same. When Evil Lurks, I have War of the Worlds was 3.9, which I do feel I enjoyed more than this movie. Just for me, my 3.25s, I definitely enjoyed this movie more than that. And so then I went back to like Talk to Me was really high for me. So but Angst was a 3.5. The Fourth Kind was a 3.5. These are movies It Follows I really, really enjoyed. Like I don't dislike them at all. But then when I look up a next level, like a 3.75, I didn't really have many of those. But let's see. See if I can find it. Anything. Well, I have a 3.85, The Offering, and I like this more than The Offering. Neon Demon was a 3.4, and I liked this more than Neon Demon. So I feel really good about that as far as how I've been rating movies, 3.5 for this movie. And again, the movies that I've rated 3.5s, I've really liked. When I think back at Angst, it was so disturbing. And this movie, it just keeps coming back into my mind. I don't remember anything negative I said about it. I must have said some negative things, but I don't remember them because it was so impactful. So,
yeah, it was. I mean, it was definitely like a little.
Jeez, that was budget. Fucking intense.
That was an intense movie for sure.
It was intense.
Yeah, we're close. We're close on scores, just like a few 0.3 off.
Yeah, Titan was a 3.5 for me as well. Like. And I remember really liking that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to go with my gut. I feel 3.5. That's where I'm going to land. All right, guys. 3.5. Thank you for playing along with us today. Yeah. If you like us, follow us on Instagram at 2chicksinahorrorflick, all spelled out, all letters. Or you can search for us on your favorite social media platform and we will be there and you can follow us there. And what else, Tawny?
You can support the show by giving us a like, review, and subscribe on whatever podcatcher you're listening to us on. And next week, we have been kind of doing it movie by movie, but now we know what we're going to watch next because our theme was very loosely things that... Things that The Offering reminded us of that we wanted to watch and talk about. And so it's interesting looking at it through that lens because I'm thinking now that we've just rated it and we just talked about The Offering, these are definitely two movies that are folk horror that give a little bit of a fresh perspective on the types of movies that they land in, both The Offering and The Ritual. My movie next is A Dark Song. And
that's right.
It's different than that. Like we're not gonna keep in that same theme. And it was more just like the kind of, I don't know, like super old. What am I trying to say? Like old, ancient, not well known, like ritual type stuff is where we're going next week. So
I like that.
But lower your expectations because it's like a very low budget movie. That's all.
I'm kind of excited for it. I saw this is totally random, but I saw this tattoo this woman had all the way up her side. So from her hip all the way up her side behind her breast of this beast from The Ritual.
Oh, no way.
Like, oh, jeez. That's hardcore. You're ready to make some love and you take off your shirt and there's like this massive, terrifying beast crawling up your side. Anyway, sorry, random, but
We're going to need pictures of that as well.
Yes.
In the Discord. Anyway, but that's it. So we will see you next time. And we hope you have such a good night. No nightmares.